one who spearheaded, has done a lot of work and research into the seven, having the all-time rosters, top nine forwards, and then a checking line, six defense, which includes kind of a shutdown pair, and two goaltenders. You've went to Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver and Winnipeg. And Craig, it's been, I'm guessing, probably been a lot of fun to research and look. Like, for you, when you break down, because I liked how you said, hey, whoever we have on line one doesn't mean that they're first line. We try to put, when you decide on who works with who, like you had Howerchuk with Solani and Tkachuk, just for instance, with the Jets, and you had Hedberg on the top line, what makes you think a certain combo is better?
Well, I can only tell you this. The line of Hull, Ulf Nielsen, and Anders Hedberg was the hot line. That was the name of the line that played for the Winnipeg Jets, led them to championships. They were phenomenal. Glenn Sather watched when he was in the WHA, coaching against those Winnipeg Jets teams. He said when he came into the NHL, that's the vision he had for his Edmonton Oilers teams. The way they passed the puck, the way they skated, the way they interchanged positions and moved the puck. And he said it wasn't just one line, it was the way their team played. So, you know, I mean, we're going to split that line up. And then you have, let me just see, you have Howerchuk, Tkachuk, and Solani, all 500 goal scorers playing together. Like, you know, like we tried to make it interesting. It's like what the Montreal won. We're not saying Rocket Richard is the second line right winger, but there's only been 260 goal scorers in the history of the Montreal Canadiens, Schott and Lafleur. Well, why not have him play with one of the best playmakers available? Why not have Rocket Richard play with his little brother Pocket? And why not have Howie Morenz play with his son-in-law, Boom Boom Jeffrion? That's what we were doing.
Yeah. Oh, no, I get it. I was just, you know,
no,
it
I
makes,
know you do. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah. But that's, but I mean, we looked at certain things. I mean, you know, the Vancouver Canucks are coming out on Friday or on Monday. Like, I mean, obviously, Daniel and Henrik are together. We're not going to split them up. So, you know, who do you put with them on the right wing? Well, you know what? Maybe it'll be Pavel Bure. Maybe not. But you know what? It's pretty good. And you know, you consider what your options are. We just tried to make it interesting.
Yeah. Oh. Of the teams you've done so far, has there been one player who didn't make a said team that garnered the most, like, hey, why isn't this guy there?
Oh, Daryl, well, two of them, Daryl Sittler and Doug Gilmore, with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there's just no question that, you know, that was a significant thing. But, you know, when we went through, when we started working on this exercise and what criteria and testing it and talking to people, you know, I'll be, you know, in this regard, there has not been one debate or disagreement that we didn't fully anticipate. We knew, and it's been exactly that way. Yeah, okay, there's the odd player. Why isn't this guy there? I mean, we knew in Edmonton, why wasn't Doug Wade on the team? Okay, but in Toronto, when we looked at the current player criteria, much like the one in Montreal, and we saw Carey Price is the only guy that can qualify, well, oh boy. Well, now we're going to have a real disagreement debate on who the number one goalie is, Dryden or Wah, right? So, and that's where it went. But we did the same thing in Toronto, current player. So we go through Morgan Riley. Sorry, we could not make a Morgan Riley case for him being a current player on the team. We could not make a Mitch Marner case for being on the team. So it became pretty clear to us that Austin Matthews was the guy. And then you look at Keon and Apps and Ted Kennedy. And let me just tell you this about Ted Kennedy. People that have been around the league for a long time and, you know, understood, they said Ted Kennedy was Doug Gilmore before Doug Gilmore. So, you know, one of the great Leafs of all time. So we pretty much came right down to it. Oh boy, it's going to be Sittler or Sundin on the team. But Gilmore was really easy to omit, to be quite frank with you, because while he had two magical years in Toronto, it wasn't long enough to supplant Sundin or Sittler. There was just no way it was going to happen. And it came down to this. Sundin, the all-time leading scorer, versus Sittler, the second all-time leading scorer. But that wasn't the defining, that wasn't the deciding. You know what decided it, Jason? What? Matt Sundin led his team in scoring 14 times. There's only one other player that did that more, and his name is Gordie Howe. That was the determining factor for putting Sundin on the team.
Hmm. Interesting. Maybe he just had bad teammates. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, no, that's
but then again, yeah, then you get into that, oh, teammates, this, error-adjusted this. Like, you know,
yeah, I'm not
a
big error-adjusted guy.
There are two people two people that have been around the league quite a long time, and they both said it emphatically. There is no way you can have an all-time Toronto Maple Leafs team without Syl Apps and Ted Kennedy being on it.
Okay.
Well, I never saw them play, so people that I have great respect for, I'm going to and you look at the statistical record and the historical record, I'm going to go by it.
Okay. Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, you've covered, and I know you talked to so many people in major junior hockey.
Yeah.
If we're not going to have fans, like a lot of the small, like I know that the big market teams, that's one thing. But could, do you believe that the WHL as a league could function without revenue from fans?
Well, it becomes much more difficult. There's no question about it. And not only the revenue, but you know, it's part of the fabric of those communities. You know, when you can think about the small communities in the CHL, the CHL cities right across the country. I mean, it's longstanding. The extension of the NHL-CHL agreement, like, was really significant for the CHL. Because without that extension and the corresponding monies that comes to the teams from the NHL that gets spread amongst all 60 teams, that's really significant. If they did not have it, and now the season doesn't start, you don't have fans, you'd have a lot less teams in the CHL. That would just be a fact. Now, is that number 5? Is that number 10? Is that number 15? I can't say. But the NHL and the CHL extending their agreement for a year, really significant. But long term, Jason, no, you can't sustain it, because there's a number of communities, and think about things like this. It's not just ticket revenue, but like in certain cities, I'll think of PA. I'll mention PA as one. The 50-50 is a big part of funding their education fund for the players, right? So now you don't have ticket revenue. Well, who's buying the 50-50?
Yep.
And now you got to pay for the education. So there's a lot of extensions that go through with the fans and being a revenue generated, a gate revenue business. And so it'd be very difficult.
Like, you know, the NHL, like, it's their most popular developmental league. There's no doubt about it. That's where they get the most of their players from still. Do you think the NHL would somehow help finance it for a year?
Well, you know, Jason, in terms of the economics and what and you know, I'll just go to the macro. We're all dealing with the economic fallout of this pandemic. That is nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. So what we have to do, and I really believe this, there has to be, you know, shared sacrifice. There has to be shared responsibility. How are we going to help each other through this? How are we going to help each other get back into businesses that we can all thrive? And whether it be buying cars, whether it be going to football and hockey games, whether it be, you know, the housing market, the clothing market. I mean, it all plays. So we're all going to have to do our part to try to support it. So now when we go to the micro, and when I say micro, like NHL, CHL, I mean, these are the things. I mean, we see the government stepping up with all kinds of subsidies and support, right? Well, you know, within industries, you know, ones that have a little bit better footing economically, yes, I think that those are things absolutely that not only do you have to consider, but you have to be prepared to enact to help, because you don't want to help the CHL teams. Well, all of a sudden now, what ends up happening is, okay, now your well runs a little bit more dry. There's less opportunity for other players. Is that what we want? I don't think so. So I think that you absolutely have to consider that. And in different forms, whatever it is, enact it. We're seeing what's happening with the CFL, a gate-driven league. I mean, they're asking for help from the government. And I understand when people say, oh, well, it's professional football, why? Well, listen, everything is professional hair salons and it's professional restaurants. Everybody's professional.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, it's an economic entity that we all got to figure out how we're gonna help lift it back up again. And quite frankly, that's everybody. That's not just one. That's everybody. Some to a greater extent because they're more capable. And then, you know, how you manage through it.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. It's fascinating, Craig. If the CHL, let's say it, you know, they don't play until January. Let's say they have a condensed season. Is that enough time? Like, would this now be? I've talked about this, Craig, for years. Here's the opportunity for the NHL to look. There's no reason to have an 18-year-old draft in the NHL. You could have top five players be 18, the rest are 19, because no one's playing in the NHL at 18 other than two guys a year from every draft. This has been proven now. It's not a make-believe number. That's a fact. So would this be the opportunity? Because it's a two-year program. For me, you could change the birthday to April 30th one year and then December 31st the next, and boom, you've got it. Do you think the NHL would ever be open to that?
You know, it's really interesting, Jason. And, you know, I was talking to our friend Jim Matheson, colleague, a friend from the Edmonton Journal today. And we were talking about the difference between the NFL draft and the NHL draft. And, you know, the NFL draft, you're not going back to junior. You're going right to the NFL, right? That's our starting linebacker. Oh, they're good. We got our left tackle, right? Well, these kids, like, you know, we're talking about the draft coming up. Okay, so people know who Lafreniere is. Well, do people know who Connor Zary is? And then you start he should be ready maybe 2 years, right? Like, fans, in our world of instant gratification, Jason, you know, fans, 2 years, that's an eternity. Why would I care? So the reason I bring that up is because we got talking about that. But I'll tell you what to answer your question. I went back to the 1979 draft. And if you go back to that draft, it was a 20-year-old draft. Okay, yeah. I don't know why you and I have talked about this. I have no idea why I hadn't thought about this before. So all those players that came in, they played in WHA, they were known, they stepped into the NHL, so the fans weren't waiting for it. So now, how about a 20-year-old draft, much like that draft, and go, and you may know this, you may not, but in the 1974 NHL draft, what the NHL allowed for, it was a 20-year-old draft, and every team could draft one underage player. One. So you could draft him 8th overall or 7th overall, or you could wait to the second round and draft Brian Trottier. But you could draft one. So why don't we go to a 20-year-old draft? 20-year-old draft, you got to be 20 to be drafted. But every year, an NHL team can draft one underage player, an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old. And you can draft them wherever you want. Let's get away from this, oh, somebody can apply exceptional status. So if we go to the 2015 draft, right, you're looking at 1995-born players for the most part because it's 20 years old. But if you want to draft Connor McDavid, you can. You're allowed one.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's 30 players. Something to be interested in for sure.
But every team doesn't have to do it. I mean, you could get to 30, but you could take a young player in the third round. Right?
Right.
And I'm just saying, so what does that do? So Brian Trottier went back and played junior. Pierre Lelouch went right to the NHL as an 18-year-old. All I'm saying is like, you know, so if you're the NHL and you say, well, look, you know, now the players at 20, well, who's coming into the league? They're coming into the league. And if you want to draft Mitch Marner, it doesn't mean you have to put him in the league, but you can draft him 4th overall and send him back to junior. So I just think, like, I don't know why I hadn't thought of it, but a 20-year-old draft, and every team every year can draft one underage player.
But how do you get to that point, right? Like, because you eventually got to make it so the majority of the players are 20, right? Because right now the majority are 18. So would you have to move the age back over time?
Okay, so maybe not. Maybe just to your scenario, and this follows what you just said. So the CHL only starts playing in January, right? Mm-hmm. So that's 4 months. So the league, so everybody agrees, well, geez, that's not a lot of evaluation for the team, right? So
yep.
We're going to go to a 20-year-old draft next summer.
Hey, I'd be all, trust me, I'd be all over it if they jumped up on it. You worked in it. I don't sense there's an appetite for it, and I don't understand why. Because I've bring in the numbers, I've shown them the numbers. It doesn't make sense, but there's not an appetite. Why? I keep hearing from people, well, you know what? Somebody could sue them. I'm like, well, why? If you make it so you have the opportunity, and where the reality is, there's only two 18-year-olds that play in the NHL. So if you open up five spots, you're actually given even more of an opportunity that no one's ever going to use anyway. So the court case garbage excuse to me doesn't work, especially because the NFL already does it and the NBA.
Well, the NHL used to do it. They had an opt-in thing, right? So, like, you know, if you collectively bargain it, I mean, that's how collective bargaining works. But, like, you know, when you consider about hockey, right, like, I mean, in teams, I mean, Jason, you and I have talked about this. Quite frankly, 31 teams in the NHL, not all of them understand development, and some of them don't understand it very well at all. So, you know, you're telling me Team A selects an 18-year-old, brings them in, you know, wherever they, and they put them in the minor leagues. Do you think Team A's NHL fans really care about that player?
Yeah, no. No, I totally agree.
They don't. Okay,
no.
So, and this isn't a knock against any player. It doesn't mean they're not going to be promising, but they really don't care, right? But, and it's no different than Major League Baseball. So, if you're selling your product, right, but like this whole idea, oh, we need to have our players, oh, look at this, and they pump him up, and he's a top. Like, you know, have you been watching The Last Dance?
Yes.
Michael Jordan played 3 years in the NCAA.
I know.
And he talked about confidence. You know what breeds success? Confidence knowing you can do it. Confidence knowing that you've worked at it. Not signing a pro contract and playing in the American Hockey League because your team can have control over you. That's not development. Harvard doesn't take 16-year-old kids and incubate them in junior college.
Well said, Craig. I love it,
Jason.
I love it, man. Well, I'll keep pounding the drum, and we'll see. Who knows? Maybe we needed a pandemic for them to wake up and realize it could be a better way.
When you're the commissioner and I'm your assistant, I will be out there doing all the PR for you.
Oh, hey, I love it. I love it. All right, Craig, have yourself an awesome weekend. Thanks for joining us as always.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.